Beautiful.
All right, Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have good news for you. And the good news tonight is you are free. You are absolutely free. Now, what do we mean by that? Let me quote Rumi, who said, "Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open?" We become our own prisoners. We are the ones who put ourselves into any box or any prison. And we do that, of course, with our limited thinking. We buy in to what the world is telling us. And we start to live in their paradigm. And what we need to do is find our own paradigm to live in. The world outside uses Newtonian physics. And if you're using Newtonian physics, your life is sequential. And things have to be sequential. And that puts you in that box. So, if you're under Newtonian physics, it's very hard to see a miracle or to expect a miracle because you think everything has to go from A to B to C to D in a sequence. But that is not necessarily true. That's why we have, of course, quantum physics. Quantum physics and the theory of chaos and all do not use sequential. They realize that things happen differently, and it doesn't necessarily mean that A will take you to B. A may take you to C. Now, why do we want to learn this? Well, for one thing, it's very good if you're experiencing any type of a health problem. All doctors are going to use Newtonian physics to diagnose you. And they are going to tell you that your body is a machine. And if this happens, then this is going to happen. So they give no room for miracles. Good evening. Well, look who's here. You're out of place. So they give you no room for miracles. They give no room for spontaneous healings. Now, they know spontaneous healings occur, but they have no idea what to do with them. And that's why they don't talk about them very often, and that's why they say they're very unusual. Because if you're in a sequential type thing, you only see something going down the line. You do not realize that it has to jump somewhere, or that it can jump somewhere, or that you don't need a sequence at all. So that's, you have to think about those things in your mind. How is your mind working? Is it working in that way that A goes to B and B goes to C? Or can you go from A to C? Or can you get rid of them all together and allow your mind to spontaneously do something, or let's say for no rhyme or reason whatsoever? You just have to expect miracles. So your freedom and being free is to realize that you can get out of any box or any prison that you put yourself into. And you get out of those boxes or those prisons by changing your mind, by learning to think differently, not only about yourself, but about the world out there. Because the world is not going to teach you that. It's going to teach you to stay in a sequential pattern. And that's why we look at everything, because it's predictable. And the world loves something that they can predict instead of allowing things to happen differently. But we can allow things to happen differently, and we can think our way out of any box. So there's a wonderful miracles happening all the time. There are surprises happening all the time. But we do not see those if we're in the box. We have to get out of the box to be able to see them. Because you see with your mind, you do not see with your eyes. So you have to go back again to the idea that your mind is doing this, that the illusion that's in front of you is being caused by your mind, and that you can change that illusion at any time you wish. So know that you're free. The spirit that is inside of you is totally free. Is totally free. It is not influenced by your mind. It is not influenced by your mind. So, think of what your spirit is doing. You see, what we're always talking about is always beyond thoughts and words. And if it's beyond thoughts and words, it has to be beyond your mind. But we place so much importance on our mind, and we think that our mind is the main thing in our life, and your mind would like you to believe that. But learn to believe that you are not your mind, and that you can get your mind to do what you want it to do, instead of allowing it always to do what it wants to do. So, the good news is, you're totally free, and you can free yourself from any situation that you're in by changing your attitudes, your beliefs, your viewpoints, and your opinions. And when you do that, everything around you changes. Also remember to change the conclusions you come up with. You see, conclusions are nothing, but the mind likes to tell you that, that if you come to a conclusion, that conclusion has to be right, because you put a great deal of mental effort into coming up with that conclusion. The conclusion is not necessarily right. We can make conclude anything we want. It doesn't make any difference to the mind. And we love to prove that our conclusions are right. And what we usually come, the problem with us is, we always are coming to a conclusion of what and who we are. And don't come to a conclusion. Don't think that you know what you are or who you are. Conclusions will get you nowhere. When you come to a conclusion, you've put yourself back in a box again, and you're no longer free. But the mind loves you to come to a conclusion, because then it's over. You don't have to think about that anymore. I know that, you see. I've concluded that. So now that's over. But nothing is over, till the fat woman sings. But you have to remember that. And that's how you make yourself free, and that's how you stay free. And we are here on this plane of action to be free. And that means free of all what I call the nits and fleas of life. We are able to be free of financial difficulties, free of diseases, free of any type of mental anguish that's going on, free of stress, free of strain, and free of struggle. We can be free of those things. We're not here to be in prison of any type. We are here on this plane of action to have dominion over everything. Dominion over everything. And we forget that all the time. So you have dominion. You have dominion over your own self, over your own thinking, and you have dominion over every situation that's in your life. And you certainly have dominion over illnesses and diseases of any type. How many people here believe that you have dominion over animals, say dogs, cats, horses, and so forth? Dominion. You have dominion over those. Well, if you look in a microscope, all little germs and viruses look like dogs, cats, and stuff. They're just little animals. if you have dominion over a big animal like an elephant, you certainly have dominion over a little thing called a germ. But our belief system says, oh no. And we're certainly not going to have dominion over those items, because the American Medical Association would go out of business if we started to say, oh, thank you, no thank you, I have dominion over those things. So know that you have that power. You have the power of dominion. And that power of dominion is what will make you free. Does that make sense? All right. So that's your good news for this evening. Now, without further ado, I'm going to allow Reva to say a few words. She's going to give a testimony. Yeah. And it's all about me. That's why I'm allowing her to talk.
Well, I just, you know, we talk every week, and Andy always makes the announcement each night that Dallas is available for treatment, etc. And I've been going to see Dallas since probably October of last year, or the year before, actually. So a year and a half almost. And people will say to me a lot, well, you know, you've been doing this for so long. Do you really need to, you know, go see Dallas? And absolutely. Because I will tell you that, you know how he talks about arguing with your mind as if it were a judge, or as if you were the attorney before the judge. Race mind is so strong in the world that, you know, we're in the world, and it's so easy to become of the world and to just buy in. And the other day, I was having certain feelings about business and worthlessness and, you know, those fun kinds of things. And so I called a friend, and she proceeded to talk that made real good sense to me, but it was total race mind. And just like being in Vegas, I put my money in, I bought in, and I played the game. Well, that was Tuesday, so luckily I was seeing Dallas yesterday. And, you know, we can't see the forest for our own trees. And so having that spiritual coach, like if you go to the gym and you need a trainer, is so important. Because I told him everything, and then he goes, well, let me tell you. And I went, oh, my God. And then when he said it, it was so obvious. So I will continue to see Dallas, come to these, listen to the ones that I don't go to, because it's that, just that always, you know, like Paul talked about, practicing the presence, you know, praying without ceasing. It's just staying connected and having someone in the mentor coach role to help me stay connected, because in and of myself, I can't do it. And then the one thing that you said, I want you to repeat, which was miracles happen at the
moment of belief.
Okay.
All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. And you have to build your belief to that miracle. And then a miracle always happens. And it's always instantaneous. But it's building your belief to that miracle. And people don't build their belief system. You have to build your belief. You have to know that it's going to happen. And then you build on that, and you build on that, and then it's instantaneous. And once you do it once or twice, it just becomes easier. The whole thing becomes easier. And when Reva bought into something, made absolute sense. And it sounded, it was so smooth, and it was so right.
Like the self-bomber.
And all I had to do was say one thing, well, she was, oh. Because I'm practiced at this. I do this all the time. And I listen to what people are saying. But I listen through a different ear than you people have. You haven't developed your ear. And you have to be able to hear what people are saying. The world is too convincing. and it's too slick. And it made absolute sense, and she could have gone with that. But as soon as I was able to point out a few things, then it fell into place much better, didn't it?
Oh, it was like you talk about how the little knobs...
Yes, you have to turn the knobs.
...are all turning, and he was the... At that, because I went to see him, he was the turner. You know, so he was the vessel. Because I couldn't be my own vessel. It's amazing. So he has me sitting in gratitude for like 10 minutes. So this morning I did that. So I followed directions. That's the other thing. I followed directions. And just tears of gratefulness. I mean, it was just like a flushing. And I was just, and I felt the abundance and the prosperity. I'm not speechless, but I'm kind of speechless. Yeah.
The idea of sitting in gratitude, always sit in gratitude and sit in thanksgiving and thankfulness. You always thank before it's done. For if you want healed, you say, thank you for my healing. If you want finances, thank you for my money. Is it there? Yes, it's there. But you can't see it. But what people are doing is they're waiting till they get it, and then they're going to say thank you. You must always be thankful first. When you're thankful first, you know that it's done. Everything's already done in mind. It's already done in mind. And there's no waiting. It's instantaneous as soon as you believe it. As soon as we want to say, oh no, I'm instantaneous. Everything you want is right out here in front of you. Everything you want is in front of you. Now, I think one of the other things that came up on that, and I'll talk about that just quickly, was the idea that somebody said to Reba, well, you live like a millionaire. Now, she took that wrong because her mind said, but you don't have $1 million. Therefore, you're a fake. Therefore, you cannot do it. And I said, how many times have I told you? Money is never the issue. You see, you must live like a millionaire, and the millions will come. But your mind wants to tell you, you can't do that because you don't have the million. But you have to know that you have the million. You have to live like you have it, and then it will come to you because you're building up that energy. You're building up that attraction. And once you get that attraction going, it comes to you. But the world says, no, you can't. And the person that she talked to meant well. But her mind interpreted that you're not doing anything and you're an absolute fake. You see. And it's not true. You see, it's not true. Don't focus on money. I shouldn't tell you that, should I? Since the class is about money. Money is always a byproduct. Money is always the byproduct. If you learn to love yourself, if you know that you're worthy, deserving, and that you matter, the money will come to you. But it's a byproduct. You come to these classes. I teach these classes. I've been teaching for years. People say, oh, yes, you teach positive thinking. I never teach positive thinking. I don't teach positive thinking. Positive thinking is a byproduct of what I teach. It's the byproduct. But you see, you're focusing on you can't focus on the byproduct. You focus on the worthiness, the lovability, and the byproduct will just take care of itself. That is why the statement, money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. Never. It comes. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can you understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the that. Okay?
Dallas, I had a question.
Yes.
I think I told you that I played the CDs of the class with my kids in the car, and Christopher asked me a question the other day, and I didn't quite know how to answer it. So he asked me, what is consciousness?
Ah.
Ooh, I love Christopher.
All right. That's a very... Let me see. When I say that this whole thing is beyond thoughts and words, consciousness is beyond thoughts and words. Consciousness is part of spirit. It's part of spirit. And your consciousness, you can grow your consciousness. We grow a prosperity consciousness in here. It's an attitude. It's a combination of feelings. It's a combination of knowing. It encompasses everything. But it's always more than thinking. A lot of people think that consciousness is just thinking. No, it's beyond that. It's beyond that. And it's a knowing. And as you remember, this teaching is experiential. You have to experience it. And you have to experience what your consciousness is. And you can experience your consciousness. You know when you have a prosperity consciousness that things happen. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking, I'm focusing, I'm putting my attention here, I'm putting my energy into it. And you're building consciousness. Does that?
You know, like if you think of the word consciousness and we use it every day, it's like being awake.
Yes.
But it's like a greater,
yes,
larger awakeness.
Yes.
As yes, it expands.
Absolutely. Yes. It's much more than just being awake.
That's good.
Because there's a lot of people that are asleep, but they still are conscious.
Awake.
Yeah. Yeah. But just, it'll grow, and you'll find, you'll just discover that. Does that help at all? No?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll get that.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah.
And he'll know that. And it's a feeling. And you could, your consciousness is keeps, it's out here. It's not in, it's surrounding you. Don't you know people with tons of energy and support? You feel them. Mm-hmm. You can feel. That's your consciousness.
So would imagination be part of the consciousness?
Yes.
Because since he's younger, obviously, he's closer to knowing about that.
Imagination is all, is part of consciousness because imagination is in consciousness. Okay. And remember, imagination for children and for everyone here is the greatest tool. The greatest tool you have. So if you want to find out about your consciousness, sit down and start to imagine it. And see it growing all around you. See it as a great big bubble. And you can see it in any color you want. And you'll start to see and feel your own consciousness. But it's, see, we are consciousness. Our body is contained in consciousness. Consciousness is not contained in our body. You see? Can you see the difference? Well, so, a fish bowl. The fish is in the bowl with the water. The consciousness would be the water. And the fish is living in consciousness. So when I say that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, we live, move, and have our being in the consciousness of God. The energy of God. Okay?
That's great.
All right.
Good questions.
Shall we do our little dance? Is this the first time you've done it?
I've heard it. I've been doing it ever since I heard it. I've been doing it at my house.
Okay. I really, really matter. Isn't that? Please do that and move your body and get that so embedded in you that you really know that instead of just an intellectual idea. This teaching is not intellectual. You can make it intellectual if you wish, but don't do that because you're missing your life if you're living in your head. Mm. Life is not in the head.
Can you clarify for me the discussion on Sniffer about the money?
Yes.
Because I get tangled.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
That's where you get.
Okay.
See, you have to hear.
Okay.
So now tell me what you just said.
It's not about the money.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what I said was, money is never the issue.
Okay.
Everything is about the money. But money is not the issue.
Yes. Right.
Now that's where you get, okay.
Yes.
If you want something, and you really want it, and you say, but I cannot get that because I don't have the $10,000 to get it. But money is not the issue. The issue is you think that you can't get the $10,000 to get it because you don't think that you're worthy, deserving, lovable, and that you matter. If you know those four items, the $10,000 will come. Or somebody will walk in and say, here, this is yours. And it's what you wanted. Money is not the issue. Is this clear to people?
No.
I see what you're saying.
I like this way. Getting a little clear on it.
Okay, good.
Because I my initial reaction is, well, I can't just go out and buy a $1 million home. But I like this. Okay, yeah. So it is the... It's always
about the money.
It is about the money, but...
But money is not the issue. Because you could buy a $1 million home, you could buy that tomorrow, because you don't know, you may have a rich relative who dies this evening and give you $1 million. Or a friend may say, look, I have an extra million here. Take $1 million. And you think you laugh at that.
People have
extra millions,
yes.
And they want to give it to you. Mm-hmm. My friend who worked, who used to do grants, at the end of the year, some of those places have to get rid of that much money that they're willing to just give it to anybody. And they're millions. He had one that had to, in 3 days, give $110 million away. Had to get rid of it. And he quickly wrote grants, and they got the money. So money is never the issue.
For some reason, I always forget the qualities I'm supposed to believe in myself. Worthy, lovable, deserving.
And?
Oh, I matter.
Yeah.
See, oh, no, I'm special.
Well, you are
special.
Forget
about mindset, it never sticks. What is that?
Because
you just said so.
And because your mind, Carol, you still think you're your mind. Remember what you said to me? Look what my mind does to me. Your mind does nothing to you. Because you can't separate yourself from your mind. Once you learn to separate yourself, your mind doesn't want you to know that. Your mind doesn't want you to know that you're lovable, worthy, deserving, and that you matter. If your mind knew that, then it thinks it's dead. It has no job to do. So it wants to keep you not knowing that. So that it can keep you where you are. So you just have to keep that way every day. You have to say, wonderful, wonderful me. I matter. I matter. I do it now. Remember how you do it in the shower? Now I... Yeah, you'll love this, but I'll show it to you. So I pull back the shower curtain, and there's that great big mirror of mine, and I have a, my towel. I put my towel in front of me, and I go, I matter, I really, really matter.
Absolutely.
And it's like a stage show.
I dance with my dog every morning.
Yeah, I thought it was shower cap one. Yeah. But I make fun, and I have fun with the whole thing. And I do that, and I discover the towel. I'm, oh, is this nice?
Well, Dallas, could you use, like, I'm wealthy,
yes.
I'm
absolutely.
Really, really wealthy?
Absolutely. Yes. You can do that. And that will work. But first, know that you matter. Because if you can have all the money in the world, and if you don't know you matter, you'll be unhappy. And you'll be nothing. You see? We want to always build on a firm foundation. And the firm foundation has to be, I am worthy, I am deserving, I am lovable, and that I matter. Once you have that as your foundation, then you can go on to, I'm wealthy, you know. But you should be doing that all day long, looking around and saying, oh my goodness, I live like a millionaire. I always say, oh, I live an opulent life. I live in opulence. And I can say that. And my mind cannot refute that. In my home, when I say that, my mind cannot say, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. You see? You do affirmations, you do those things, so that till your mind cannot refute them. Then when you do those things, you have to do something, make steps. When you say a demonstration, that's why when we do treatment work, we say treat and move your feet. Then you do something about it. When you do an affirmation, remember I made an affirmation about 25 years ago maybe, I am a reader. Now, what did I do after I do those affirmations? Mm-hmm. I go buy a book and I read that book. I said, boy, I'm a reader. Now I get two books. Now, when you come to my home, you see books everywhere. Because what? I am a reader. You have to make your affirmation come true. You have to make your treatment come true. If you're sitting around, remember, God helps those who help themselves. You have to do something. As soon as you do something, the universe comes and helps you with that. In my bedroom, remember, I have that little sign that says, start to weave, and God will give you the thread. Mm. But people want the thread first before they start to weave. Mm. You want to read, you start to read. And then the affirmation, you see, you become your affirmation. You become your treatment. Does this make sense to you? But people think, oh no, I'm waiting. Somebody else will do it, or God's going to do it. God. Now listen, write this down. This is the biggest one. God can only do for you what God can do through you. God comes through you. You come, and as soon as you start doing those things, things fall into your lap. Other things happen. This happens. That happens. And it works that way. Does this clear anybody up? Help?
I have, and I know I've had this for quite a while, this little thought that goes through my head. You're out in the world and you see people, and you know, they're not as awake or you know, you're like, wait, how did you get all this money? Do you know what I mean? That my thought. It's like, you know, why do they have that material stuff and I don't? And I know that's a very insidious thought that comes through.
No, it's not an insidious thought. You should be asking that thought to yourself, what do they have that I don't have? And you should say, well, they don't have anything that I don't have, but they know something that I don't know. And what do they know? I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm lovable, and I matter. And I want that money, and I'm used to that money, and money comes to me easy and effortlessly, and they never had to work very hard for it, and da 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 da. So now you must know that also.
Yeah, but when I'm saying that, it's usually towards people that I'm judging.
Yeah.
Don't seem
right
as worthy and deserving.
Yes.
So maybe that's
right.
The problem.
Yes, that's the problem. The sun shines on the just and on the unjust. Meaning that God comes through everything. Doesn't matter if you're just or unjust. God does not know those things. Only we do that on this plane of action because we judge. We judge. Look at those people and say, thank God they have the money. And if they can have it, I can have it too. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to change my idea about myself. And I'm going to say, I can do this. I can have this because I know. And yes.
And they have a wealth consciousness.
Yes.
They may not even know metaphysics.
Yes.
But they still have a wealth consciousness.
Yes. It has nothing. Metaphysics is everywhere. People just don't know it. It goes on whether I'm teaching it or not. It's always going on out there. The law of attraction works for everybody. You see. And they have a wealth consciousness. And they just get wealthier with that wealth consciousness. Instead of saying, they never say, I can't afford something. They say, oh, I'll get the money to do that. I know how to make that money. You see. And we stop ourselves and put ourselves in that box in prison because we say, oh, I can't do it. And we always stop ourselves.
Is it possible they have an entitlement consciousness? And
I
we're
hate
looking at
the world. I hate the word entitlement.
I agree. That's why I'm saying it. Is there ever a cost? Like, is it wrong to look at... First, is it wrong to look at someone and say, oh, look at all they have. What are they doing that I'm not? And
no.
Maybe they have a consciousness that they have on appearance something that looks like you want it, but really you wouldn't want it.
That's right.
Because they have affluence or prosperity based on entitlement that we want to be more attracting based on deserving rather than entitlement. Is that... I'm probably making this...
No, because of the words. The word entitlement just came into existence with welfare. You know, I'm entitled. And we started to tell people that you're entitled to this, that, and the other thing. If people have money, they have money because they have a money consciousness. They have what's called a rich consciousness. And they know how to use that consciousness. Rose, who came out of a concentration camp, came to this country. And now wouldn't you say that she and her husband are very well off? Now, Rose must have had a prosperity consciousness, a money consciousness, or she wouldn't have that. They would have beaten it out of her in the concentration camp and she'd have thought she was worthless. What saved Rose and the people that survived the Holocaust was that they knew that they mattered. And the ones who thought they didn't matter and were a piece of crap went to the ovens.
They bought in.
They bought in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can put this on the tape because that's upsetting to some people. But it's absolutely true. The people that survived did that. They survived also because they lived in the moment. The ones who remembered the past, well, I was this, I was that, I had this, I had that, da 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 da, went down the tubes. You can never look at the past. you're in difficult situations, you stay in the present moment and you move towards the future. But when you look at that, it stinks. What did Mike Todd say? I've been broke many times, but I've always been rich.
Victor
money,
Frankl.
Yes, money is never the issue. Does that help you? That money is never the issue.
Yeah, that's clear. Okay. It's beginning to be clear.
Well, why don't you just say it is clear?
It's clear.
Yes, and make yourself believe that.
It's clear.
You see how your mind works? It wants to, her mind and all our minds work this way. Mm-hmm. We want to say, oh no, I need one more clarification. Oh no, I need one more class. Oh no, I need one more book. Oh, I need one more of this, instead of saying, oh, that's absolutely clear. Thank you. No more mind. It's clear. I'm clear on this.
Well, okay. If I think I'm reluctant to jump onto that train and be free.
Why? Because.
Oh, well, I ran away from me and my topic. I'm afraid if I do that, I don't really know.
You'll be disappointed. If you jump on the train and it doesn't take you where you want to go, you'll be disappointed.
Because there's a part of me that wants to be right with you.
Yes.
There's a part of me that I'm not arguing.
Oh, I know.
Me. And I'm asking only these two because I want to get it off of me like a cockroach and running out of its shell. I just want to be like, oh, you said that so poignantly once, like, just quit dragging this big, heavy load, Carol. And that just resonated. And I'm still dragging it, but I do want to. I could just decide and just leave it here. It's over. It's done. It's finished. I'm in the sunshine. I'm on the happy road.
Okay. How many people here saw The Mission? The movie.
The Mission.
It's a movie called The Mission.
Oh, with Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
Oh, I meant that. Okay.
For Mission. You have to watch that, Carol. Now here. It had
Jeremy Irons
and the other guy, taxi cab driver.
Oh, De Niro.
De Niro.
Wow.
De Niro killed his brother. He was a slave trader. And he decided then to become a priest. But he carried all his armor in a net behind him and drug it. They had to go through the jungle, and at one point they had to go up a waterfall, and he's struggling with this thing on his back, trying to go up this waterfall. And one of the other priests say to Jeremy Irons, the head priest, why don't you tell him to let that go, that he doesn't need that? He said, he has to do it. He has to cut the rope. I cannot cut the rope. You have to decide to cut the rope. You're waiting for me or somebody else to give you permission. You must give yourself permission. I cannot save anybody. God cannot save anybody. And there is no teaching that can save anybody. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. So think of that. Watch the movie and see if that's not you. And then make up your mind to take the scissors, I always use big ones, and cut. And watch it go. But we drag things behind us. Because the world likes to teach suffering.
What did you tell me? Seek your own counsel.
Yes. Always. You always go into your closet in secret, close the door, and keep your own counsel. That means you don't run around asking advice from every Tom, Dick, and Harry, because you're going to get everybody's opinion and their advice, not your advice. When people give you advice, they give the advice that will benefit them, not that will benefit you. Only you can give your own advice. And you have to know that you're using the mind of God, and you ask God to help you with that.
If one really, if I cut, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm spreading. I forgot to turn my phone off. I apologize.
Do it now.
I'm going to make a little tone. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right.
If I really say and believe, I'm afraid to be free. Because if I say, if I really believe I matter, I'm lovable, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, and I'm in the, I just think in the immediate of just where I am professionally and the people I'm with don't agree with me, I'm out the door. But if I really believe this, then I'm out the door, and it's really, I have this tucked under my heart forever, and I'm safe. I'm out the door to find my better good.
All right.
Is that how I should be?
You can say that you're, yes, because you're always moving from your good to your greater good. But usually, when you know those things, that you matter, you're worthy, you're lovable, and completely deserving, and you stand in that consciousness, those people come to you. They do not throw you out.
And if they did throw me out,
you'd land on your feet.
I'd land on my feet.
You
if I really believe this, once I get there, I really believe this. I shouldn't say once I believe get there. I'm there.
You're there. And every day, do you do these practices every day?
Well, I forget the words. Some things I remember I'm not going to forget them. Remember them.
And you have them written down.
I have them written down.
Carol is the voice for the class, by the way. So when she asks these questions, these are questions that other people want to ask. And she has the courage to ask these questions. So we have to applaud her for this. So I applaud you for bringing these things up. But watch, everybody, how the mind works. Because, I forget these.
Mm-hmm.
The mind wants you to forget.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work on these up. Look, I have to do it every day. If I don't do it every day, I forget. And hell, I teach this stuff. And it goes, it's very nebulous. And it leaves you that quickly. How many people have skipped two or three of these classes?
Me.
And you forget everything, don't you?
Yes.
It just evaporates. It's absolutely, it just evaporates.
I had it bad last week where the thinking just went back to the old way of thinking, and it was miserable. And, you know, I really had to, like, get myself in hand and, you know, snap out of it.
Yes.
And why that's is it so difficult if it's so right?
That's a good question, which I don't know the answer to. The only thing I can tell you is the ego mind does not want you to know this. And because we're so familiar with it, and there's more of them than there are of us, and we're lambasted by it constantly. Turn on any of these electronic devices that we have, and they will tell you something's wrong somewhere.
Another answer that you said before is that our minds, it's the easiest thing in the world to change your mind.
It's
the hardest thing in the world is to keep it changed.
Yes. Yes. It's keeping it changed. Because it always takes the road of least resistance, and it always wants to go back in. Remember, they discovered that our thoughts run around in there, and they follow the same path, and they actually form grooves in our mind. They can see the little grooves that they form from synapse to synapse to synapse. So you just, it just goes right back over there again. I sit and say tilt. You know. Oh, I do. I go tilt. You know. Yes, tilt. Yes, and do wake up your mind. I told you that before, didn't I? Come on, mind. Let's wake up.
How do you, when you use that metaphor?
You wash the mind. You take
the big scissors. Mm-hmm. How does one, I just, it's just, am I being stubborn to not say, I'm okay, I'm cutting a matter, I love, and not even question it or have to, oh, I'm lovable, I'm this, I'm that. It's like, how?
I don't think that the word stubborn is not the word that you want to use. I think there's a resistance there.
Which is fear somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Fear to be happy.
Absolutely. And fear that you may be right. And fear that this whole thing may work. And then look at all the years you invested in something that didn't work. So now your mind says to you, oops, I better stick this out. How many people do you know that have been in a marriage for 50 years and for the last 47 of those years, the marriage was not working? But every year they stayed in it longer, they said, well, now we're in it this long, we might as well stay there, because to get out of it now, I would have wasted all that time. So I might as well be miserable another 50 years so that I haven't wasted my time. Now, that's horrible, convoluted thinking. But people do that all the time. Jobs, they do that. Well, I'm... might as well stay now.
Well, that's what you hear right now in the political debate, is that exact line of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't listen to them, so.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, but it's using the same words, stay the course, stay. You know, all that is like.
Yeah. Yes, we've invested this much, so let's keep investing more, even though it's not working.
Yeah.
And that's the way race mind works, people.
Yeah.
And that's just, but we are working on coming to see me, aren't you? I'll get a pair of scissors out when I'm finished with you. You'll, We've got to get on course here. I'll do a spiritual mind treatment.
Stay the course.
Get on course, not stay the course. All right. Let's know this. This universe that we live in is absolutely supportive. It wants to give us everything. It wants us to be happy. It wants us to be rich. And we know that. And we know that we're one with it. So we tell our minds that this is so. And we open our hearts to receive. And we receive. We receive the abundance and the prosperity and the money. And we let that be so, and so it is. You have to know every day that this universe wants you, that you're a part of this universe, that this universe loves you so much that it wants to give you everything. And give up the idea of what the world is telling you, that it's a hostile environment out there. Remember, any world that can produce flowers is not hostile. It's an impossibility. If you want to go to a hostile world, move to the moon. And then tell me about hostile. This world is not hostile. If you watch all the news medias and all these things, you will have yourself convinced that that is so, because they're going to report nothing but the bad stuff that's going on. And the world is much more than that. Much, much more than that. And that's what you have to see. Right now, with what's going on in the world, and with the focus that we have on what's going on in the world, we are producing more of it. And when you turn on what I call the killing machine, you will see it. If you turn that thing on right now, you would see somebody being killed. It's a killing machine. And we start to believe that. We start to believe that. And when we start to believe that, we make more of it. We make more of it. You cannot buy into that. You cannot buy into it. put your focus on all the good that's going on in the world. Put your focus on the idea that we have enough power to change global warming. And we can do it. We can do it. There is nothing that we cannot do. Nothing across the board. Now, tonight's topic was a disappointment. And I will say this, that most people, Carol and the rest of us, we don't try things, we don't want to believe things because we're afraid we'll be disappointed. Because we grew up with parents and with a society and with race mind who told you that the worst thing in the world that could happen to you is disappointment. Don't get your hopes up, you'll be disappointed. And we go around thinking, well, I won't put too much into this job because I may get disappointed. I may get disappointed. Give up that idea that you're ever going to be disappointed. And never be disappointed in yourself. That is the worst one, that you're disappointed in yourself. You have to know that you're an individualized expression of God. And don't get disappointed. We get disappointed in things because we start to claim them as ours. And then when it's taken away from us, we get disappointed. Don't think of anything as yours. Think of everything here that you're doing. You're just using it. And it belongs to God. And you're just using it. And if what you're using is taken away from you, something better is there to replace it. So don't ever get disappointed. If you lose a job, don't be disappointed. That frees you to get a better job. And you have to know that the better job is coming, that the better job is there for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lost the job you have. If you lose a relationship, the same thing. Oh, it was time for that relationship to go. A better one is on its way. I am not disappointed. I am excited. I am thrilled. Because I know I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. From glory to greater glory. And you just keep doing it. Don't let yourself get disappointed. When you're disappointed, your energy goes down. And if you get disappointed and your energy goes down too low, you get depressed. And then what are they going to tell you about depression? That it's an illness. And now you've got yourself depressed and you're very ill. But we have a pill for you. And we're going to give you a pill. And it all started with being disappointed. Don't be disappointed. There's no need to ever be disappointed. What could be taken from you? What could be taken from you? Nothing. Oh, well, my life could be taken from me. Your life cannot be taken from you. Your body can be taken from you. Your life cannot be taken from you. So, nothing can be taken from you. So, never be disappointed. And never be disappointed in yourself. And if your mind starts that disappointment routine, you have to sit down and argue with it. And get out of the disappointment. As soon as you're out of the disappointment, the new thing will come in. But when you're in disappointment, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen when you're in disappointment. And did anyone like to be around anyone that's disappointed?
No.
Their energy is horrible. You just don't like that. So, do you think anything, you're going to attract anything when you're disappointed? Only more disappointment is the only thing. So don't allow yourself to get disappointed. Detach yourself from the things. Enjoy everything. But know if it's all gone, you won't be disappointed. I sit in my home and often think, well, I could live without any of these things. What if an earthquake came and took them all? What if fire came and took them all? Would I be disappointed? No. I would just go and get more things and better things, because I know how to do that one. You know, mm-hmm. I learned years ago that nature abhorred the vacuum. And if I sit in a room long enough, if I would sit in this room long enough, this room would fill itself up with all kinds of things. You'd absolutely be surprised. It would just fill itself up. Somebody was in my home today and said, you can't get another thing in here. I said, watch me. Watch me. I can. And it'll just come. That's the way that works. It works that way. Ralph Waldo Emerson. House burned down. And the whole town came to put it out and to save all his manuscripts. But they couldn't find Ralph Waldo. Where was he?
Up on the hill.
He was up on the hill watching it, saying, I was up watching the beautiful flames. They were just gorgeous. Because it was an event. Things are just events. He was not attached to the house. He was not attached to the manuscript. He was attached to his consciousness. And he knew that he could rebuild everything. So he enjoyed the moment and he enjoyed the beautiful fire. And that's what we have to know. We can enjoy. He wasn't disappointed at all. And it was nearing the end of his life. Was nearing, and he didn't say, oh, there went all my work. You know. His work still lives on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He knew. You have to know that. It's not in those things. So, don't be disappointed in yourself or anything else. But especially in yourself. Do never be disappointed. Don't get yourself into depression. Remember, the highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself, because you are a creation of God. And the Creator and the creation are one in the same, and it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Yeah.